I certainly fell way short of what I wanted to do for the Lord last year. But we have a brand new start, brand new year, and got a clean slate, and you have started right by being in God's house. You're batting 1,000 by being in church, and I hope you will maintain that. And but making it to church is about as elementary and primary as you can get as far as being a Christian. I'm not going to preach to the choir, but and I'm not going to bash those that are not here. I know some are sick and others are out of town, and but some just by choice or laziness or whatever the reason or excuse, made a decision, a conscious decision, to not be here today and be in God's house. And I just want to commend you for doing what's right, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But there's way more to being a Christian than coming to church. Coming to church don't make you a Christian, no more than going to Hardee's makes you a hamburger. However, if you are a Christian, you absolutely have a desire deep down in your soul to be in God's house, be with God's people. And I'm of the persuasion, and the older I've gotten, I've heard this, but the older I've got, the more I know it's true. And the longer I've pastored people, and the more mature I've got, in just in life, but in my Christian life, personally speaking, people do what people want to do. And I've had people tell me, well, I've even lied to myself and say, I want to do this or I want to do that. But the truth is, we do what we want to do. And whatever is important to us, that's what we do. And I'm well aware these things come up in life, and it's out of our control. Brother Jackie mentioned talking about Miss Kathy and how she had things come up that were out of her control, and I'm very excited for her to be back in church. But I want to encourage you to make it a priority in your own personal life to be in God's house this year. I really believe, and I mean this, it's absolutely impossible to be the Christian you need to be and that God desires for you to be without having a faithful attendance to the house of God. You say, well, I'm a good Christian and I just don't need it. I just don't need it as much as others. I promise you, I don't care how long you've been saved, you need church. You need the fellowship with God's people. You need, as well as I do, we need God's house. We need God's word on a consistent basis being preached, being taught. We need to be edified and encouraged by the singing that goes on. We need to worship corporately together. And people say, well, I can do that at home. I can do that on my own. You can, and I encourage you to do so. But there's no replacement for coming together and worshiping the Lord. And I'm a firm believer. You say, but I work. And I know some people have to work. However, some people choose to work when they don't have to, they will volunteer to make an extra dollar. And I'll just be honest with you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You have made money an idol and a god in your life. I know that ain't popular, but listen. If you can, you should be in the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
And I didn't come to make you mad this morning, but it's that important. It's absolutely that important that we make the things of God, His Word, our prayer life, and the house of God a priority, because we will not be better than we was last year. We will not elevate. We will not go higher or further with God. We will not go deeper with God if we do not make the things of God a priority. With that in mind, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 30. Psalm 119, verse 30. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together and we will read together. There, say amen. The Bible says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Here's our key verse, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Then drop down to verse number 44. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on the subject, and it's right out of verse number 33, keeping it unto the end. As everybody knows, this is New Year's Day, and many of you, if not all of us, at one point or another have made New Year's resolutions. And how many of you, and I want you to be honest, how many of you have ever kept a New Year's resolution for the entire year? Raise your hand. I had to put mine down. I've never kept a resolution I made on New Year's for the entire year. If you have, raise your hand. One. Out of the whole crowd, I'm in the majority of those who have never accomplished that. And with that in mind, I want to preach on this subject. New Year's resolutions are not the solution. We make them and we want them and we want to change things and we want things to be different. And we want to better ourselves, whether it's a diet, whether it's health-related, losing weight. And I would encourage you never to make ain't it odd how nobody ever makes resolutions at the end of November or December, because nobody would keep it a day or a week with all the food that I've consumed. But there's something about the new year. We feel like if we write it down or come up with something that we're going to better ourselves with, that that we'll do it for sure. We're going to go to the gym, or we're going to cut back on eating, or we're going to save more money, etc., etc. But the truth is, New Year's resolutions, that's not the solution, especially in the Christian life. Resolutions in general are usually broken, but God has a lot to say, and I want to focus and hone in on that, how that every Christian, every born-again believer can have a better 2023 than we did the previous year. You can. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care what your mind has convinced you of. You absolutely can get closer to God and make it to the end. I mean, actually fulfill that promise and that vow that you've made to the Lord. And not only can you and can I, but we should. Any Christian should have a desire to draw closer to the Lord. Every Christian should have something deep down, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that should propel us and put a desire in us to want to be better. And not just stay where we are, not just settle and say, well, this is just as good as it gets, and I've got in this rut, and this is just how I've been for years, and it can't get any better. No, the truth is, it can get better, it should get better, and by the grace of God, it will get better. We should mature as believers. And here, David said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And so, too many people place way too much emphasis on New Year's resolutions. And as Christians, they look at the calendar, and for them, it's a year-by-year commitment. That ain't how the Christian life operates and works. We need a group of Christians that will stop looking at the Christian life week by week or month by month or even year by year, but start making lifelong commitments to the end, and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to make it to the end and being a faithful believer. We need more Christians that are in it to the end. And it's not an experiment. It's not a hobby or a fad. It's not a phase that you grow out of. It's being a Christian is a lifelong commitment. And by the grace of God, I am in it for the long haul. I do not want to become a casualty or a castaway. I want to be in it until the end. I want to finish what I started by the grace of God. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, when literally days before they chopped his head off, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And David, in the psalm that we read part of, give us some great keys and some great solutions to how we can finish that we've started, how that we can make it to the end. He said in verse number 33, our text verse, we see David's reliance. All throughout Psalm 119, and it's a long chapter, I believe the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and it'd be easy for us to get off on different subjects, but I want to stick right here with what we're dealing with, and that is Christians making it and committing to God that we're going to make it to the end, and not just make it, but make it faithfully, make it still with our testimony intact, make it not in reverse, but make it all the way to the end, still pursuing and still following after God. And so David, we see his reliance and his submission. Verse 33, he said, teach me. He's submitting himself. He's submitting himself to God. Keep in mind, David was a mighty man. David was a warrior. The Bible said, and God said about David, that he was a man of war and a man of blood. David was a king, a man of power and prestige and position. Yet David demonstrated a submission and a humility that was exceptional. David asked God multiple times in just this one chapter, teach me. A king, a man of high degree, a man of prestige and power, humbled himself and said, even in my lofty position, even with all of my power, even with all of my knowledge, I still need to submit myself and I still need to humble myself. If I'm going to make it to the end, I need to be taught, and not just taught by anybody, but taught by the Lord. And he said, Lord, teach me. And he submitted himself. And the same is true for us. If you are going to make it, you got to realize, and I've got to realize, you don't know it all. I don't care how long you've been saved. I've been saved and a preacher for a long time and been studying the Word of God for a long time, many decades, and been to Bible colleges and had great preachers and teachers that I've sat under. But I'll be the first to tell you this morning, I do not know it all. I still need to be taught by the Lord. And so do you. And if we're going to make it to the end, like David, we need to submit ourselves and ask the Lord to teach us. David asked God multiple times in this chapter alone, teach me, teach me. Psalm 119, verse 12, he said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. In verse 26, he said, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Verse 64, he said, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, he said, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Then verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 108, except I beseech thee the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Having the humility to ask God to teach you is a huge first step to living for Him. We should never get to the place to where we feel like we've arrived. Even the Apostle Paul said, I have not apprehended. He had not graduated. He never got to the place, and he was a very learned man. He was a man with a pedigree above everyone else. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was as high as you could get in knowledge. But even Paul said, I hadn't graduated. I need to learn from the Lord. And if Paul could say that, and if David said that over and over and over, it should behoove us that if these great men said, teach me, then we need to be taught. And I don't know what happened. If you watch here lately, I've been watching Andy Griffith a good bit and some of the older shows, and it's amazing how when they will show a church house or a church service in a lot of the older shows, the church house is small, no air conditioning, no padded pews, none of the nice amenities that we have today, but the church houses would be packed to the brim. I mean, just one after the other. Everybody in the town would come to the house of God. Why? Because people knew, and Christians and believers knew, that they needed to be taught. And I don't know where we got away from that. I don't know where we got to the point where we feel like we arrived at, but you have to beg people these days. And I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people who are saved, people who know better, people who ought to know better, and yet they feel like they can make it to work and they can make it to their hobby, but for some reason, learning and being taught by the Lord has fallen so far down on their priority list that they can take it or leave it. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have to get faithful to God and faithful to His house and faithful to His Word and be willing to be taught by the Lord. The truth is, when it comes to life, let's just be honest, we don't have a clue. We need the help and teaching of the Lord. How many this morning can honestly say, this year, like David, I want the Lord to teach me? I do. When was the last time you asked God to teach you? To show you something new? To take His Word and say, Lord, I've read it, but today, teach me. Show me. Open up Your Word and reveal to me something new. Something that I don't know. Something that I need to know. To reveal to you something new about Himself. You do not know everything about God. Brother Ned, you've been saved a long time. You've been reading His Bible and His Word, and you know the character of God, and y'all friends and many of you others that's been saved many, many years. You know a lot about God. But hear me this morning. Hear me well. You need Him to teach you new things about Himself, because there's facets of God that you've yet to discover, and there's whole worlds of God that you've yet to discover, and He's willing and He wants to teach us more of Himself. Amen. We don't know everything there is to know about Him. And if you're going to make it to the end, it's imperative that you learn and we submit ourselves to be taught by Him. These new things to learn about the Christian life. Not just about God and about His Word, but the Christian life. There's room to be taught. There's things that I believe today, and I've heard preachers and get up and say, and people stand up and testify, bless God, I believe everything I believed 20 years ago, and I ain't changed nothing. And I'm thinking, you ain't learned nothing either. There's a whole lot of things that I believed 20 years ago that I don't believe now because I've been taught. Things I used to be against, I'm no longer against because I found out it ain't in the Word of God. And it was man-made and it was fabricated and it was good tradition that was passed on, but it wasn't from God. And I was taught by God, by the Holy Spirit, that if God ain't against it, I'm not going to be against it. However, in the last 20 years, there's things that I used to think was okay, and now God has taught me it ain't. There's things that I can't do anymore, things that I won't do anymore. Why? Because in the Christian life, I have submitted myself and allowed Him to teach me. There's things that I used to think was okay, and He taught me that they're not. And you and I should be willing, as David was, we're going to make it to the end. Lord, teach me. And when you do teach me, give me the willingness. Give me the heart to say, yes, Lord, I was wrong. Yes, Lord, teach me and I will change. The Bible, I quote this verse a lot, but where much is given, much is required. Some people are so stuck in their ways, especially Baptists, especially people who have been in church and held positions and think, they've got it all figured out and can't nobody tell them or teach them anything. I'm here to tell you that is hard-headed and hard-hearted. And when you think that you've arrived and just because you've been here this long or that long, listen, you still have room to learn. And we shouldn't get so hard-headed and hard-hearted that we feel like we're above and beyond others. God wants to teach you. And there's things about the Christian life you need to learn. I don't want to become an old mossy-backed Baptist who comes in and sits on my high perch and looks down at other people and thinks I have it all figured out and I've been here so long and I've done it so long nobody can teach or tell me nothing. I don't want to be that person. Because it's pride and it stinks in the nostrils of God. And listen, you may think you got the whole world fooled, but everybody smells your stench. When you walk around so high.